Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation, I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Lead me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy and it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. Put fright in me and now we flee from falling leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we fizzle, we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejection of reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave us the Rothschild. Now we exhaust the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fate. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your dull y'all magnify y'all cut is great.
Praises of glory and all honor unto the mighty Yah. By saying hallelujah. Shalom and welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Oreshia of the House of Israel of Cincinnati, here to bring you another program titled Nothing But the Truth. We're going to speak on the mighty and glorious truth of the Most High, Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the Elohim, the power, or as you may know, the God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the only lawgiver, the only judge, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. And we're going to speak about this great Elohim tonight. I'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in across the airwaves on Blog Talk Radio, on YouTube, and on Facebook. We know that the only reason that you are listening is because of your great fear towards the mighty Yah. We've had some beautiful programs this week. We've heard Brother Obadiah yesterday teach a good program about choices and consequences. And the day before that, I was with you teaching about the Gentiles and how they have struck at the core of your spiritual reality by using deceit to take you away from the Most High. And this evening, or this night, we're going to teach, and we're going to read, and we're going to witness, and we're going to learn about the fear of Yah. Because Yahweh is greatly to be feared. And in this fear of Yah, we're going to learn about a very controversial subject. And that controversial subject is, should we pay tithes? Now, as I spoke about the other day, the Gentiles have gone through the book of the Most High, and because they couldn't, and Yah didn't give them the power to alter his word that you read, they had to go and just lie about what you read. And likewise, when it comes to tithes or tithing, have taught a doctrine that has caused great confusion amongst his people, Yah's people. And what is this doctrine that the Gentiles have taught that has caused this great confusion? We're going to go to the book of Galatians. What is Galatians? It is a book in the New Testament. Go to the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, because this is a letter that has been attributed to Paul, who is a character in the story called the New Testament. Paul delivers a teaching that's right to this confusion at its core. And you'll hear many of your preachers and pastors teach this. It says in the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter, we'll just get right to it. And it says in verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Well, that is a very powerful statement. The reason it's so powerful is because you just learned why you have nothing to do with the New Testament. Israel, any Israelite claiming that they or you or anyone should adhere to the New Testament needs to explain, and any pastor or preacher needs to explain how in the world does this make any sense? Behold, I Paul say unto you that if he be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Well, if you believe in the law and the New Testament, this is a contradiction. The truth is, Christ doesn't profit you anything at all, whether you're circumcised or not. But let's see why Paul says this. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And that's it right there. That's their teaching. The law doesn't justify you. No, so that's what Christian doctrine has been taught and propagated throughout earth and to the people of Yah who have been led astray. Let me show you another place in this same book, the third chapter. We're going to start reading in the 16th verse. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds. You see, this is just idiocracy. Because the word seed can be used either singularly or plural. If I lay down seed, I'm not just laying one seed. I could lay down many seeds. I could say that I seeded the garden, the seed of Abraham. Does that mean just one? Of course, because it's 12 tribes of Israel. How can it be just one? If you get grass seed or grass seeds, they're just playing with semantics. And to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. See that deception. And this I say, that the covenant was not that in this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of Elohim in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But Elohim gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promises was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. You see, this, where did you read in the Holy Scriptures? I ain't read this. No, I never read this in the Word of Yah. But this is their deception to try to show you how they don't need to keep the law. Now, verse 20 says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Elohim is one. Is that what they think? Verse 21, is the law then against the promises of Elohim? Elohim forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. Excuse me. But that is what is righteous, the law. Why it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 24th verse, if you hold that, because I'm going to come right back. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh Elohim, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as a day. And it shall be all righteousness if we observe to do all the commandments of Paul." Not what it says. "If we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim, he has commanded us." So that's what Yahweh said. Doctrine that was given to Paul to go to the Gentiles. So this is what the Gentiles was taught according to the New Testament. And since this is what they were taught, this is what they teach. Verse 21 of Galatians 3 said that righteousness should have been by the law, if that's what righteousness is, yet that was a lie. But verse 22 says, "The scripture hath concluded all under sin. The promises by faith of the Christ of the New Testament might be given to them that believe. Before faith were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster." This sick little snake just lets you know that you don't have to keep the law anymore, because Christ came and took away the schoolmaster. And then he says in verse 26, "Ye are all children of Elohim by the faith," JC. "For as many of you have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all ye are one in the Christ of the New Testament." You see, this is why you have this confusion today. This is a doctrine of the Gentiles. It was given to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles teach this. Why do you think they want you to believe you could be male or female? Why do you think they want you to believe that you don't have to go by nationality, and anybody could put on whatever they want to, and you don't have to keep the law? Because if you study and follow this utter confusion, you won't be paying attention to the trick. You'll be just trying to live this life. And what did Yahweh say about these type of things in the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter? You're going to see where the Most High already prophesied that he would do such a thing. See, the only way somebody could come and sell you that kind of snake oil that Paul sold you had to be some kind of divine intervention. Common sense lets you know that this man is lying to you. Common sense. But Yah said the world is in darkness, and the people the gross darkness. That means you don't have common sense. Sense ain't common. Sense ain't even available. You can't see it. It's gross darkness. Your sense is quite severely inhibited. And you just start doing all kind of stuff. So in the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, we begin reading at the 22nd verse. Yahweh said, "Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the whose sight I brought them forth. I lift up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they," who's they? Israel, "had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them all statutes that were good in judgment, whereby they should not live." And exactly, how can one live by something as ridiculous as what Paul told you? That you don't have to worry about being male or female. What? I mean, that's just insane. And but obviously people really believe this stuff, because now you're having the discussions amongst the societies about if you want to be male or female. You could take and put on the Greek hat, or you could take the Greek hat off. This is the same man as he became all men, or all he became as all people, wherever he went. That's where the saying comes from, "When in Rome, do as the Romans." Paul, he said, "Amongst the Gentiles, I was Gentile. Amongst the Jews, I was Jews. Amongst the strong, I was strong. Amongst the weak, I was weak." What does that tell you? And he's around a bunch of Greeks. This is a man that's telling you these things. And this is where your doctrine about should you, let alone pay tithes, should you even keep the laws of Yah? Now, I understand when our Christian brothers and sisters have a confusion about keeping the law. They've came up in the church, they've been fed this doctrine for years, and they don't really understand. And we're here to teach you, brothers and sisters, that this doctrine has been a false doctrine. And yes, the law is able to be kept. But then you have those amongst us that claim to know the word of the Most High and claim to serve the Most High, yet and still they want to tell you that you cannot pay tithes, that it's not the law to do so, that not only is it not the law, it's against the law to pay tithes in America. And is that true? Are we not able to pay our tithes? Why is that even important? Are we just trying to get the money? If we was just trying to get the money, we would have it. It's not hard to just hustle people out of their money. Especially if you're dealing in religion. All you have to do is what they did in the New Testament. Let me show you. People don't want to pay tithes, and they think it's against tithing. And it's understandable if you came out of the church and they robbed you every week, and then you come into the knowledge of the Most High and you hear about tithes and you're like, "I thought the church was lying." Well, the church took something from the Creator because they needed to get paid. But what you don't realize, those of you that are in the churches, the reason why the church decided to use the doctrine of tithing from the word of Yah, as opposed to the doctrine of how you should give your increase in the New Testament is because Yah's doctrine of tithing is a fair doctrine of tithing. It's a righteous doctrine. It's practical. It's not impractical, unrighteous, unfair. But I will show you the doctrine of how you're supposed to give according to the New Testament. No, we don't usually go with the New Testament much. But in order to show you the truth of why this, should we pay tithes or not, why this doctrine is so foolish for us to take up and actually honor, why it puts us so backwards, and why we should just follow Yah, I have to show you where it comes from. And the way to show you where it comes from is to show you what it says. And then you could think twice, like, man, am I going to be like the Gentiles? Or am I going to be like Yahweh's witnesses? And in the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter, I'm going to show you where or what the Gentiles have taught our people. We should give up our increase. In the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter, start reading in the 16th verse, where it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Somebody's come to the Christ of the New Testament, and they want eternal life. And later on, I'm going to show you where the Most High prophesies the thoughts of his people and what they asked. But here you have a man asking the Christ of the New Testament, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto them, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one." So let's stop here and let's hold ourselves in suspense and imagine we don't know what's about to be said. If you have been taught that the New Testament is about the Most High and Christ is the perfect example of righteousness, you would expect him to say, not what he's saying. You expect him to say, "Yes, what's up? After somebody call him good master." But he said, "No, I'm not good. Who are you calling? Why are you calling me good? There's only one good." You expect him to say, "Yeah, that's me, the good one. What's up?" But he said, "There's only one good, and that is Elohim." Oh, so I guess you've been lied to about who Christ really was. Said, "But if thou enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, how is Paul running around telling people that they don't have to keep the commandments, but the very one he said you saved through told you to keep the commandments? Something don't match up. He saith unto him, verse 18, which the Christ of the New Testament said, "Thou shalt do no murder." He says, the man says unto him, which commandments? "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness." Hey, those are the commandments in the Ten Commandments. He skipped a bunch of them. You know, the important ones about not being an idolater, keeping the Sabbath day, about not taking God's name in vain, about not having no other Elohim before Yah. But nevertheless, he's quoting the commandments. "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 20, the young man saith unto him, "All these have I kept from my youth up, but lack I yet The Christ of the New Testament said unto him, if you will be perfect. Hello, here we go. You want to be perfect? Go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He said, go sell everything you got and give to the poor. Go ahead, sell it all and give to the poor, and then follow me. That's what you're supposed to do if you're a Christian. You're not supposed to pay tithes. You're supposed to give up everything and go walk around and leave your father and leave your mother and leave your children and leave your wife and leave your family like Christ did, and go find people to leave families and create a whole bunch of deadbeat dads and just go preaching the gospel, laying hands on people and healing the sick. I don't know how you get along like that in this type of society, but that's what you're supposed to do according to the New Testament. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. But he had great possessions. Yeah, that's not even the law. Yahweh tells an Israelite to give up all his possessions. You can't even do that. That's against the law. You can't give up all your possessions. You can't give up your land. But look, let's go to the book of Acts, because I'm showing why the church does not, why the Gentiles do not teach you how to give up your increase according to their book. The big super mega churches aren't thriving off of a bunch of hobos coming to their church. Those are wealthy people, people with jobs, people with income, and direct deposit tithes into their churches. They was just had a bunch of bums and homeless people, because that's how they would be. If they gave up everything and left everything, they would be bums. They would be homeless. They would be walking the streets as vagabonds. They would, super big mega Opolis churches couldn't thrive off of that. No, you think these pastors and preachers would be flying in Rolls Royce airplanes because they got a bunch of people selling everything? No, now look, the parishioners of your church sell everything, everything. Now you might have $20 million. But you can't get no more money from them. It's better when you have thousands upon thousands of parishioners sending you thousands upon thousands of dollars year in and year out. Your money can run out, but if you keep on selling this snake oil every year, you're making money every year. You got the best hustle in the game. So they're not going to teach you to give up everything. Yahweh didn't want you to pay tithes so you can make the preachers fat. There's a very specific reason why we have the law of tithes. But let me show you this so we can get out this book. We're in the book of Acts now, because I'm going to show you why I don't teach you this. It's in the fifth chapter of Acts. We're going to start at the first verse of Acts. No, I'm going to have to start a little bit before the fifth chapter, and I'll start in the fourth chapter. And I'm going to start in the 32nd verse. It says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Where do you think communism come from? Why do you think that don't work? Great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Christ of the New Testament, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many were possessors of land or houses, sold them. Yeah, you see this? They sold them. And brought the prices of things that was sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. They sold everything and then spread it out throughout the apostles and their company. They had this little cult going on, and you had to sell everything. And Joseph, I guess, who by the apostle was named Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Do they teach you this in the churches? No. Why? Because they wouldn't have any profit. It would run out. Church would have closed down long time ago. Chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And look what they did. And kept back part of the price. So they didn't give the whole thing up. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part. They brought maybe a tenth, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this is the possession, their increase. They didn't give it all up. Maybe they brought a tenth. They only brought a part. So let's say they brought a tenth. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? When did the Most High ever say, thou shalt not lie to the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? And keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it yet remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto Elohim. Oh, so they viewed the Holy Ghost as Elohim. So you see the idolatry in this book. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all the men that heard these things. Yeah, they claiming, if you don't give up all your possessions to the apostles, you die. Christ said, give up everything and follow him. The apostles said, you need to give up everything. If you don't, you're going to fall dead. Verse 6 says, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Peter now, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Well, who is this? I guess the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Lord is Elohim to them. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. You hear how? Now, you talk about gangsters. You know how the mob, they walk in your business. They walk in your business and they demand a fee for protection. They the ones robbing and stealing and killing and shysting. They the ones doing all that stuff. But then they walk in your business and demand a fee for their protection from them. That's gangster. Well, there ain't nothing more gangster than this. Give up all your stuff. If not, then you going to just drop dead. Everybody should be paying you now, but you just ain't going to last that long. Then she fell down straight away at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Now, you see this nonsense? This here is why the church don't teach this. This is why the Gentiles went into the book of Yah and decided to borrow his doctrine and let you know that this was one of the commandments that aren't done away with. Even though they tell you the commandments were done away with, this is one of them that aren't done away with. Well, praise the mighty Yah, we don't here at the house of Israel, we don't follow the New Testament, period. And we follow the law of Yah, because this is what Yahweh says in the book of Malachi, the third chapter, the sixth verse. Yahweh says, "For I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Yaakov are not consumed." Yahweh does not change. So he's not going to do all this buffoonery that is displayed in the New Testament. But Yahweh says, even from the days, verse 7 of Malachi, the third chapter, "Of your fathers are ye gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, I will return unto you, saith Yahweh host." Now this is that conversation I said Yahweh prophesied. And he's going to show you what we were say unto him. And he said, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts." Now, why is that such an important statement? Because hold that Malachi, the third chapter, and go to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. In Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the first verse, it says, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither Yah thy Elohim have driven thee." See, now Yahweh is letting you know everything has happened, the blessing and the curse, as it has. We've been under the blessing, we've been under the curse. You're actually under both right now. You can choose, as Brother Obadiah was speaking about yesterday. You can make the choice, but you're going to have to deal with the consequence. If you choose to be under the blessing and choose to have the blessings of the Most High, what your choice has to be is the law. But if you choose to be under the curse, that's because your choice was to not keep the law. And all these things have came upon us, the blessing and the curse, and we have called them into mind, which means we remembered them among all the nations where the Yahweh the Elohim has driven us, where we are at today, and shall return unto Yah thy Elohim, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. Where are we doing this at? Thou and thy children, and with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Where are we doing this at? That then Yah thy Elohim will turn captivity. Meaning, you got to do this when you're in captivity. You have to return unto Yah and do according to all of his commandments. In captivity, then he will have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee, is because you're not at home, from all nations where Yahweh, your Elohim, hath scattered you. Yes. That's really plain. That's very plain. Yahweh's word is plain. If you say that you don't have to keep the laws of Yah in your captivity, you just lied. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You're lying. I know people want to philosophize, theorize, itemize, classify, optimize, just to lie. You don't have to lie. You could just read this in black and white. This is what it says. I mean, That's what it says. It's so funny how we always want to take somebody to court and give me the documentation and show me the proof. But when it's time to keep the law the Most High, now it is, you know, do all kind of different things. But it's right there. It's written right there in Deuteronomy 30. Yahweh said, verse 2, and you shall return unto Yah, thy Elohim, and shall obey his voice according to all. And I don't know when all has turned into some, but all is everything that I command thee this day, thou and thy children. That means your children got to keep the law. Sometimes people say they going to keep the law, but, you know, they going to hold off on their children. What? How are you going to do that? Then you're not keeping the law. Thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then Yah, thy Elohim, will turn thy captivity. Because you got to do this in captivity. When your parents sent you to the room to make you think about what you did, you didn't come out until you thought about what you did. Well, Yahweh sent us to the room, and we ain't coming out to think about what we did and stop it. So you go back to the Malachi, the third chapter. Yahweh showed you how to return right there. That was the big picture. Deuteronomy 30, that was the big picture. This is how you return. All these words, all these commandments. Now here you go. In Malachi, the third chapter, verse 7, it says, even from the days of thy fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. He said, return. But we said, wherein shall we return? So now we ask the question, because Deuteronomy 30 maybe was too much for us. Maybe we needed to know the specifics, the details, because Yahweh know that some of our and a lot of our people like to get detail oriented because we got selective hearing. So we like, well, wherein, Yahweh, shall we return? Yahweh responds in verse 8 with a very wise answer and question. Will a man rob Elohim? Yeah, who has the audacity? Who has the gumption? Who has the arrogance? Who has the courage and the downright foolishness to rob Elohim? Will a man rob Elohim? Yet, ye have robbed me. How do you rob the Most High? How do you rob Yahweh? Just hold this for a second. Go to Psalms 50. How in the world? I don't know if our people have considered what Yahweh is saying here. Psalms 50. We'll just start at verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Elohim, even thy Elohim. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goes out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. How in the world do you rob him? How do you rob Elohim? Well, let's see what he says. I just want you to know, because I know how our people get. I didn't write this. This isn't a special altered, doctored book by me. I don't have to do that. This is the word of the Most High. And he said, "Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed me." But you say, "When have we robbed you?" How do you rob the possessor of everything? In tithes and offerings. Hold on. What? He robbed the tithes and offerings? Yes. That's what he said. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. That means no one is exempt. And then he said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith Yah." Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, because we haven't given our tithes nor offered anything, we've robbed him, the whole nation. He said, "Bring the tithes in to the storehouse so they can meet in my house." And why does he want meat in his house? And prove me now. What's that mean? Prove me now herewith, saith Yah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith Yah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith Yah of hosts. Now how in the world are we robbing him with these tithes? And Yahweh showed us specifically how to return to the Most High. So we can't listen, and we shouldn't listen to what Gentiles have taught us, but we should listen to Yah. Now he said we robbed him of tithes and offerings, and that the tithes shall be meat in his house, food in his house. That's what meat is. Because we got to feed the people. We got to feed the people. And who are we feeding? Let me show you. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. Chapter 12. Let's begin reading. It says in verse 12, "And ye shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim, ye and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and your maidservants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you, take heed to yourself that ye offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest." So he let us know that we got to rejoice with the Levite. He don't have an inheritance. He don't have a possession, because he's Yahweh is his possession. So he doesn't have land. He doesn't have that. And in verse 19, it says, take heed to thyself, that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. Yeah. Why not? Because he doesn't have a possession. He doesn't have an inheritance. You can Deuteronomy 14. Let's start reading at verse 22, where it says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before Yah thy Elohim in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, in the first things of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear Yah thy Elohim always. This is why you have tithe. Learn to fear the Most High. Now, can you do this here in captivity? Well, let me see. What does it say? Thou shalt truly tithe all the tithe of thy increase of thy seed. Do you have seed? That the field bringeth forth year by year. And you shall eat before Yah the Elohim. Can you eat before Yah in this land, in your captivity? In the place which he shall choose to place his name there. Is there a place in America, South America, the islands, Canada, Greenland, Ireland, Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia? Is there a place in among these places we are that we can, that Yahweh has chosen? Because if Yahweh chose it, and if he set his name up there, there will be a house and an altar and a priesthood all there, right there, and you could go there and bring your tithes and your offerings, as he's saying. He said a place where he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn. Do you have grain? Of thy wine, do you have wine? And of thine oil, do you have oil? Because if you go try to take some of this extra virgin olive oil, some of this wine, some of this grain that you get from the store, if you try to take that stuff to Yah, you will be held in abomination. But do you have those things? Well, no, we don't have those things. Do you have firstlings of your herds? Do you have flocks? No. So this is a certain tithe. And this tithe, you're supposed to eat it. And if the way be too long for thee, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which Yahweh the Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh the Elohim hath blessed thee, then you shall turn it into money. For all those that say tithes can't be money, you turn it into money, and bind up the money in thy hand, and shall go unto the place which Yah the Elohim shall choose. And you shall bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. What, you could buy stuff with your tithe? Yes. For oxen, you could buy oxen with your tithe? Yes. Or for sheep, you could buy sheep? Yes. You can buy wine? Or for strong drink with your tithe? With this tithe, you can. Or for whatsoever your soul desireth, with this tithe you can. And thou shalt eat there before Yah, thy Elohim. That's what you're going to do. Don't eat that. Rejoice with your household, and the Levite is within thy gates. Thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. See, he didn't have a flock. He didn't have grain that he could bring. He didn't get to make a bunch of wine. So you got to share it with him. He didn't get all that. But that's what you brought up to the house of the Most High. We obviously don't keep this tithe. We can't keep this tithe. That tithe is specific to a certain region. So no, we don't do that tithe here. Then it says in verse 28, at the end of 3 years. Why at the end of 3 years? tithing is the order of three. Why is tithing the order of three? Because the order of three represents Yah's servant. And who does the tithes get stored up for? For the Levite. And who is the Levite? Yah's servant. What does the tithe come from? It comes from the earth. What was made on the third day? The earth. And I don't care if your tithe is money or if your tithe is food, it still comes from the earth. Because the only way you was able to get the increase is that you worked in the earth. The tithe is in the order of three. And he said at the end of 3 years, you shall bring your tithe forth all the tithe of your increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within the gates. So this one you don't take to Jerusalem. You keep this in your own borders, your own corners, your own land, your own cities, your own gates, wherever your gates are. You lay it up, and the Levite, because he has no part, no inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yad Elohim may bless thee in all the work of thy hand, which thou doest. This tithe is laid up for them. This tithe is what you need to store in Yah's house, so there may be meat in his house. This tithe is in your gates. And your gates is wherever you are at. And then they say, well, we don't know who the Levite is. That's fine. You can say that. But what about the stranger? What about the fatherless? What about the widow? You don't know who those people are? You don't know who the widow are? You don't know who the stranger is? You don't know who the fatherless are? Yeah, you know who they are. But where's your tithe at? Well, they say, well, we don't know when the third year is. Well, we untaught you when the third year is. And we'll continue to teach you about Yah's years. Because it's not just every 3 years. As a matter of fact, this particular tithe is every 7 years. Nevertheless, let's read about another kind of tithe. Because there's a tithe that supersedes, and I don't want to say supersedes, but there's a tithe that Yahweh is talking about, because he knows when he said you need to return. He knows where you are. He knows where you were going to be. Yahweh isn't absent-minded. So there's a tithe that Yahweh was talking about that you need to lay up in his storehouse so there could be meat in his house, so that you can show forth your righteousness by keeping all of his laws. There's a tithe that you got to pay, that you got to do, that will give you no excuse to do. See, there's three different tithes I've seen. Well, let me say, there's four different tithes that I've seen in the scriptures, and I'm going to show you the other two. I've shown you two. But this third one that I'm going to show you, this one is the one that you can't make no excuse to pay. And I'm going to first show you what Yahweh says in the book of Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Verse 1, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek Yah. Are you one of these people? Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. This is who Yahweh directly told you to look to as a role model. Therefore, as role models go, and as people do with role models, you should do what the role model does. That's what they're there for. In Psalms 37, verse 37, it says, "Mark perfect man, hold the upright, for the end of that man is shalom, peace, wholeness, completeness, oneness, harmony." That's what peace is. You want peace? You want to be without chaos? You want wholeness, harmony, rest, oneness? Well, mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. And Yahweh marked three perfect men by putting his name on them. And who is that? Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And can I show you what these men did? Go to the book of Genesis, the 14th chapter. And what are we talking about? Should we pay tithes? This is a very controversial topic because people don't want to pay tithes, especially our people. Our people, if you tell our people, man, pay tithes and show the law, and they got $10 in their pocket, they say, "Well, what's tithes?" "It's 10%. $10 a pocket, I'll give you a dollar." Pay tithes. What's tithes? They always got to ask, how much is a tithe? Even though you just told them, "What's tithes?" "Well, 10%. I got 20. I'll give you $2. Pay your tithes. What's tithes?" 10%. "I got $30. I'll give you $3. "What's tithes?" 10%. So you telling me this $1,500 I got in my pocket, I got to give you $150? Well, you ain't giving me $150. You giving Yah's house the $150. So you're saying $1,500, I got to give you $150? They'll say, "I got to give you." No, you don't got to give me $150. It belongs to Yah. So you saying out of this $2,500, I got to give you $250? They still say you. You telling me out of this $8,000, I got to give you $800? $10,000, I got to give you $1,000? $50,000, I got to give you $5,000? Yeah, that's 10th. That's 10th. That means it's fair for everybody. Because what if there's somebody very rich? Very rich person. A very rich person. A billionaire. And if Yahweh required that this billionaire give 35% because he's a billionaire, but the person that's not a billionaire, all he makes is like $10,000 and he just got to give $1,000. This billionaire got to give you millions of dollars while this thousandaire got to give you just a little bit. That's not fair. So if he got a billion, he give 10% of a billion. If he got a dollar, he give 10% of a dollar. Everybody breaks off what they can handle. It's very practical. Very practical. But Yahweh wants to show you who did these things. It's in Genesis, the 14th chapter. And we're going to read in the 16th or the 15th verse. It says, "And he divided himself," talking about Abraham, "he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his sons and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek, king of Salem." Now, this is not where Yah's house is. Yahweh didn't set up an altar here. Yahweh didn't have his Levites here. Yahweh didn't implement his Israelite law here. This is just the king of Salem and the land of Salem. Yes, this is the land of Canaan. But this is still not the Yahweh told you to do. Bring his tithes to where he places me. Land hasn't been sanctified by Yah with his holy people. Now, Chedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High Elohim. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High Elohim, possessor of the heaven and earth. And he blessed, and blessed be the Most High Elohim, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now, who gave who tithes? Because the New Testament will try to teach you that Abraham received tithes from Melchizedek. How is Melchizedek going to give Abraham tithes and Melchizedek is a priest? Well, Abraham, understanding that this is a priest of the Most High, he blessed him in the name of the Most High, and he received all this from turning the kings and him getting his brother Lot and all this stuff. Abraham told the king, he said, look, we're not going to take none, just that which the young men have ate. And therefore, he gave them tithes of it to the priests. He gave them tithes. He gave them a tenth. It wasn't the third year tithe. It wasn't the tithe that he ate. It was the righteous tithe. The tenth that you're supposed to give, because the tenth belongs to Yah, and Abraham knew that. The tenth is holy, because the tenth is in the order of three. And the order of three is holy. That's Yah's holiness. Therefore, Abraham, being a holy man to another holy man, gave him a tenth. And did Abraham teach this to his son? Of course, because Yahweh said he would teach righteousness to his son. Isn't that what it says in Genesis, the 18th chapter? 18th and 19th verse. He says, seeing that Abraham surely shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of Yah to do justice, which is righteousness and judgment, that Yah may bring upon Abraham that which he spoken of him. So you think he taught this to Isaac and Yaakov? Of course he did. Let me show you the proof in the pudding in the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter. We'll start reading about Jacob in verse 20. It says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if Elohim will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Yah be my Elohim. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be Elohim's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tithe, or the tenth, unto thee. Made this vow, because that was righteous. That is righteous. And where was Jacob? Where was he at? I'll show you where he was at. Go up. It says in verse 19, and he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz unto the at the first. Nor was this Jerusalem. It was still a land ruled by the Canaanites. Levitical priesthood wasn't there. It was the stone. How is a stone going to be Yah's house? But Jacob's going to come back there, and he's going to store up a tenth. And who you think he's going to get that tenth to? The fatherless the widow, the stranger. You want to argue that. I know a lot of our people want to rebel against that. That's not you that fear Yah. That's just Satan trying to stop you from getting close to the Most High, from returning to the Most High. And people want to find a way to wiggle away from that. Let me do a quick review. First, people say they don't want to pay tithes because it reminds them of the church, and the church used to rob them. And I done showed you the church don't even teach tithes. They stole that just so they can keep their business going. They teach you to give up everything. And if you don't, you'll die. So you can't use the excuse of the church, because we're not the church. Then people want to use the excuse of not paying tithes because you got to take the tithe up to Jerusalem. And I showed you where that tithe, yes, you do have a tithe that you take up to Jerusalem, yet that is a tithe that you eat yourself, not a tithe for the fatherless, the widow, and the poor. It is something that you share with the Levite, but you eat of it yourself. So now, you can't use, I can't pay tithes if you're not going to Jerusalem, because we already know that's a certain tithe. Then they say, well, we don't know who the Levite is. Well, then I've already showed you in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, the 28th verse, that the tithe is also for the fatherless, the widow, and the stranger. And then they say, well, these aren't our gates. But if you just look it up, gates is everywhere. And Yahweh even called Israel his gates. And then they want to say they don't know when the third year is. Even though we've taught you the third year and we'll continue to teach you the third year, yet still we can say we don't pay the third year tithe. But Yahweh still told us in Malachi to return unto him and stop robbing him of tithes and offerings. And he told you that's how you return unto him, and we definitely need to return. So now I show you, Yahweh told you to follow after Abraham and Jacob. And they paid tithes, and they didn't have any of those little excuses that our people have today. Now they say, well, you got to bring it into Yah's house. Because that's the only thing you can say after all of that. He said, bring it into my house. You're right. He did. So let me show you where Yah's house is. Go to the book of Ezekiel. The 11th chapter. Now, after I show you where Yahweh's house is, where Yahweh said that his sanctuary is, then what will be your excuse? In the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, let's begin reading. At verse 13. No, I want to read a little earlier than that. We'll start right there at verse 14. Again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all those of the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get you far from Yah. Unto us is this land given in possession. He's letting us know that Israel has told the prophets, have told the servants, get away. Yahweh's given us this land. It won't be taken from us. So Yahweh had to prove them wrong, because he said it will be taken if you don't harden. Therefore, verse 16, therefore say, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, although. So he's letting you know, He's like, no, I know you heard that the sanctuary of Yah is in the land, and the land, and Yahweh is in the land, and his name is in the land, which is all true. But Yahweh's letting you know this, although I have cast them far off, which among the heathen. Why do you think the Gentiles' doctrine has become the doctrine we follow? We've been trained to follow. We've been following all these years because Yahweh cast us far off among the heathen. And although I have scattered them among the countries, why is it that we are among all these countries? Because Yahweh did it. That's why you have doctrine prevailing over our people, separating our people from the truth of the Most High. Because Yahweh put us in these places. And why did he do it? Not because he's having fun and he's playing volleyball with the countries. He did it because we rebelled against him. We continue to rebel against him. And the only way to return to the Most High is to do all of the words that he has commanded us to do, which includes tithing. And he said, although I have scattered them among the countries, yet even though we are all over the place, yet will I, the Most High, I be the Most High to them as a little sanctuary. And where's this little sanctuary gonna be? In your house? No, sir. In your car? No, sir. Where's this little sanctuary? Little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. So Yahweh let you know he's gonna be a sanctuary. In every place that you at can't be a sanctuary. Your car can't be a sanctuary. Your house can't be a sanctuary. Your job can't be a sanctuary. Your closet can't be a sanctuary. Yahweh is your sanctuary. And if Yahweh is going to be a sanctuary to you, then that means the Most High is going to set up his sanctuaries. And that's exactly what he has done. Let me show you what it said in the book of Malachi, the third chapter, the first verse. It says, behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. Why is he preparing the way? It has been taken away, so now the messenger has to prepare the way. And the master, the sovereign, the king whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his place, his temple. What? Whose temple? The messengers. This is basic English. The subject is the messenger. And the king is going to, or the, oh, your book says what it translates to sovereign, king, or master, the chief, the head. You seek, shall suddenly come to his place, his sanctuary. Now, if the messenger has place, who you think spirit is in that place? Even the messenger of covenant whom you light in. Who you think spirit is in that place? Yahweh's spirit is in that place. That makes it Yahweh's sanctuary. That makes it the place. His messenger is there. He's going to send the rest, the chief, the head there. And this is the messenger of the covenant that he's sending. Got to go somewhere. Well, this is where you're supposed to bring your tithes. Because this is how you return. That's how you return to the Most High. And the Most High ain't never lie. But many of our people, they want to say, They don't have to do this. Well, then, you're just not listening to the words of Yah. Yahweh told you to do this. And he really left you no way out. The only way out is to rebel. The thing you throw at people to say why you're not going to pay the tithe, why you're not going to give the tithe, is taken down. And let me show you, I said I was going to show you four different tithes. Let me show you the last one, because there's a responsibility that the leaders must consider. In the book of Numbers, the 18th chapter. In Numbers 18, it says, "And Yahweh, verse 1, said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. Thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi and the tribe of thy father bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh to the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar. And neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined. Keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle. And a stranger shall not come nigh to you. And you shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And behold, I have taken your brethren the Levites from among the children of Israel. To you they are given a gift for Yah, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And Yah spake to Aaron, behold, I have also given thee the charge of my heave offerings of all the hollow things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing to and to thy sons by an ordinance ever. Now this is, he said he gave you all the hollow things. Now let me get right to it. It says, thus also ye shall offer an heave offering unto Yah of all your tithes, talking about the priests, which ye receive of the children of Israel. And ye shall give thereof Yahweh's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts, ye shall offer a heave offering of Yah, of all the beasts thereof, even the hollow part thereof, out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the beast thereof from it, and it shall be counted unto Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the wine press. And what does this mean? This means everything that the priests received of the children of Israel, they had to give a heave offering to the Most High. That was their tithe. They had to do a heave offering of the tenth. It even says in verse 24, but the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto Yah, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and said to them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for Yah, even the tenth part of the tithe. So even the priest, the top of the spiritual chain in Israel, the priests, they had to give a tithe of the tithe. So what are we doing with these tithes today? Yahweh said, return unto him, and he shall return unto us. All we got to do is what Yahweh said. And he will open us up the windows of heaven. And I'm waiting for it. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much. And so do I. Shalom. Hallelujah.
Mercy and his love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.